بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our 10th session, reading from some of the commentaries for Al-Aqidah Al-Tahawiyyah, the summarized presentation of the Islamic Aqidah by Al-Imam Abu Ja'far Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Salama Al-Tahawi rahimahullah. In tonight's session, بإذن الله تعالى, we're going to be taking a second look at the subject of the divine decree, Al-Qadha wal-Qadr, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Last week we mentioned about 5 or 6 points, and tonight, inshallah, we're going to mention the remaining points dealing with this topic at this point. Later on, the author, rahimahullah, is going to talk about this subject again from some other angles or aspects, and we'll go back to it at that time. So before we look at the points that we want to cover for tonight, which will be beginning with point number 24, and we'll talk about the numbers when we get to it, inshallah. Before that, we want to just quickly review some of the points that we covered last week. From the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 9, beginning with questions related to point number 18 up until 23. So the first question mentioned the 18th statement of the author Al-Imam At-Tahawi concerning Allah's act of creating the creation. Of course, the 18th point in our original text is numbered in the commentary of Sheikh Salih Fawzan as number 28. And in the English translation of his commentary, it's number 27. Mention the 18th statement of the author, Imam At-Tahawi, concerning Allah's act of creating the creation. Second part of the question, in mentioning what Sheikh Salih Fawzan says, what he says, Allah's act of creating the creation is a dalil or evidence of. Yani, what did he say concerning Allah's act of creating the creation, and what did he say this act of creating the creation is an evidence of? Ahmed.
خَلَقَ الْقَلْقِ بِعِلْمِهِ.
Okay. خَلَقَ الْقَلْقِ بِعِلْمِهِ. Somebody, what is the meaning of that? Somebody else. Naam. Abdul Wali.
Allah created creation according to His knowledge.
Okay. He created the creation according to His knowledge, or with His knowledge and having knowledge of what He created. Naam. And what did Sheikh Salih Fawzan, Hafidhullah, say? This act of creating the creation is an evidence of what? Ahmed.
It is with knowledge that He created, and He already had foreknowledge of the creation.
Okay, it's with knowledge that He created, and He already had foreknowledge of the creation. And he quoting the Sheikh Salih Fawzan, his exact words, he said, Naam.
It is the proof of His knowledge and His ability.
Right, he said, فَخَلْقُهُ خَلْقُهُ دَلِيلٌ عَلَىٰ عِلْمِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَىٰ وَقُدْرَتِهِ. And he, sometimes the meaning can be expressed in other words, but generally, if I say, what did the Shaykh say? I want the words of the Shaykh. Okay, he said that Allah's creation of the creation is an indication of His ilm, and it's also an indication of His qudra, of His ability. And it's an indication of His ilm that He had knowledge to do the act, for the act of creation, and He also had to have not only knowledge, but the ability to implement what He knew. Second question, mention the 19th, or in the Arabic of Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan's commentary, 29th or 28th in English, mention the 19th statement of the author, Al-Imam At-Tahawi, concerning the Qadr, the decree, listing some examples mentioned by Sheikh Salih Fawzan. Examples mentioned by Sheikh Salih Fawzan concerning what Allah has Qadra, decreed or fixed for the human beings. Yani, what is the statement of Imam At-Tahawi? And what has Sheikh Salih Fawzan mentioned as examples of that statement now? وَقَدَّرَ لَهُمْ أَكْدَارًا. Somebody else tell me, what is the meaning of that? قَدَّرَ لَهُمْ أَكْدَارًا. Zaki. Okay, He has ordained all things in due measure. Naam. He has ordained, fixed, pre-decreed the destinies and everything related to the creation. Naam. Second part of the question, back to, who was answering the question? You want to take the second part of the question? Somebody else. What he said, Sheikh Salih Fawzan gave examples of Allah's fixing, decreeing, appointing all of the affairs of the created beings. Examples he gave.
I have the
Not the ayah, but examples. He said Allah pre-decreed everything related to creation, meaning like in reference to the human being, what did He fix or measure for the human beings? He mentioned like 5 or 6 or 7 examples, specific examples of the details of how Allah fixed everything for His creation. Now,
like His lifespan?
Okay, lifespan, that's mentioned as one of the points, but that wasn't the examples that he gave. That was one of the points that Imam Tahawi mentioned. Now, Abdul Wali.
Predestined the bodies, the senses, and limbs of a man, as well as their composition, their weights and measures.
Any everything related to the human being, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fixed and put in a dual proportion, in a dual measure. Their physical bodies, their senses of sight and hearing and taste and touch and smell. Any their weight, everything about the human being, Allah fixed. Any every creature, Allah has fixed every aspect of that creature's existence. Including, as somebody mentioned, their lifespan. That's one of the points of Al-Imam Al-Tahawi that we're going to look at now. Question number three. Mention the 20th statement, and it will be 30th in Arabic or 29 in the English translation of Sheikh Salih Fawzan. 20th statement of the author, Imam Al-Tahawi, concerning the ajal, the lifespan of the created beings. What did he say concerning the lifespan of the created beings? And mention what Sheikh Salih Fawzan says, this act of fixing the lifespan of the created beings is an evidence of what? Is an evidence of what? And you know, on this side, somewhere, Talib now. وَضَرَبَ لَهُمْ أَجَالًا أَجَالًا يعني أجل, it's plural, it's أجال. وَضَرَبَ لَهُمْ أَجَالًا. Somebody else tell me, what is the meaning of that? What is the meaning of that statement? Naam Zaki. He said a fixed term. Okay, a fixed term. What is going to be their lifespan? How long a person is going to be, or any created being for that matter, in this world? The Shaykh Salih Fawzan, Hafidhullah, says that this fixing of the lifespan of the created beings is an evidence of what? Evidence of what? Shanawaz.
It is an evidence.
Exactly, the perfection. Kamal rububiyyati. The perfection of Allah's lordship, of Allah's rububiyyah. Naam. And the perfection of what? And the perfection of what?
What He will was and what He did not will was
not. No. The Shaykh, he's here. I want to kind of stick to the wording of the Shaykh. He said that this, fixing the lifespan of the created beings, يَدُلُّ عَلَى كَمَالُ رُبُوبِيَّتِهِ وَكَمَالُ قُدْرَتِهِ. Yani, what does it indicate? It indicates the perfection of His rububiyyah and the perfection of His qudra, His ability, and that's true. What you said also, after that He said that. Now, whatever He will be and whatever He doesn't will not be. But the point is, this is an indication of what? What is it a dalil of? And Allah is fixing the lifespan of the created beings is an indication of the perfection of His rububiyyah. Of His rububiyyah. And it's also indication of the perfection of His power and His ability, His qudra. You want to add something?
Yeah.
Yeah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew and already fixed the boundaries of the lifespan of the created beings even before He created them. Type question number 4. Mention the 21st statement of the author, and it will be Sheikh Salih Fawzan divided this statement into 2 parts. So he gave it 2 numbers. Okay? He gave it 2 numbers. But in the original Arabic that we are using, it's the 21st statement. In Sheikh Salih Fawzan's commentary, is 31 or 32, or one less than that in English. 21st statement of the author, Imam Al-Tahawi, concerning Allah's ilm of the creation. And what did he say? Sheikh Salih Fawzan is divided into 2 parts. In the original, it came as one statement. In his explanation, he just explained each part of that statement separately. Alright, so what did Al-Imam Al-Tahawi say concerning Allah's ilm of the creation? And it's in 2 parts. I got the same hands coming up over and over again. Anybody else? Any mashallah, there are a lot of people sitting here. And some of you were here last week. Who wasn't here last week? No problem, inshallah. The point of these questions is for us to review and to remember in case we forgot or we weren't here. And what are the main points that we discussed last week? So we don't lose out on that. Now, Muhammad.
وَلَمْ يَخْفَى عَلَيْهِ شَيْءٌ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَخْلُقَهُ
نعم. So nothing was hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning the created beings before He created them. He already knew everything about them. And the second part of that statement, somebody else. نعم. Zaki. Okay, he knows everything. He knew everything before he existed. But that's true. That's an explanation of the point. But the point is that the Imam al-Tahawi, his speech, what he said nothing was hidden from him, even before he created the creation. And then he said, also, Naam? He already knew what the created beings will do, what will be their actions, what will be their deeds, even before he created them. So he made these two statements, and Sheikh Salih Fazal explained them as two any separate matters, even though it's originally one point. Question number five, mention the 22nd or 33rd statement of the author, Al-Imam al-Tahawi, concerning Allah's commands and prohibitions. The speech, quotation from Al-Imam al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, what did he say? Concerning Allah's commands and prohibitions. Over there, I see a hand that I didn't even see before. I can't recognize you. Your name?
Yasin.
Yeah, I probably didn't know your name, but now I'm going to try to get it. Yasin. Fadl. Amarahum bita'atihi. Wa nahahum an ma'asiyatihi. Okay, somebody tell us, what's the meaning of that? Naam. Ahmed. Okay, he commanded, yani, with obedience of himself to obey him, and he forbid, yani, disobedience of him. Question number six is related to that. Why does Allah command and prohibit? Since he already knows who's going to be obedient and who's going to be disobedient to him. Since Allah already knows who's going to obey and who's... Why does he command? Now, I thought I saw a hand in the middle of the floor right here. Tayyib. Fadl, Naam. Yusuf, right? Yusuf, I have to know Yusuf.
Based on the individual's action, I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a distinction based on the God and not the individual's action. And he's going to judge the human based on their action.
Okay, did the brothers in the back hear what he said?
No.
Nope, you brothers didn't hear what he said? Can you repeat it one more time? But a little bit louder so everybody can hear.
Allah's knowledge and the individual's actions is different. Allah made a distinction between the individual will be judged based on their actions.
Okay, that's the core of the meaning, of the point, okay? That Allah is not going to judge people, reward or punish, based on His knowledge of what He knows they're going to do. He's not going to judge people based upon His qadr, what He decreed is going to happen. But He's going to judge people based upon their actions. So He commanded people to see if they will obey. And if they obey, then they'll reward it. And He prohibited people to see if they will abstain. And if they abstain, then they will be safe from punishment. So the point is, even though Allah already decreed, what's going to happen? He already knows who's going to obey and who's not going to obey. He knows it completely, certainly, without any doubt. But the reward and the punishment is not based on Allah's perfect pre-knowledge or what He decreed. It's based on the actions of the human beings. And for that reason, it becomes critical, as it came in one of the hadith, and we're not going to mention it now, but just to allude to it. People ask, since Allah already knows who's going to be in the paradise and hellfire, why we got to do deeds? And why we got to do all this work? Since it's already decided. And the Prophet ﷺ told them what? Who knows? He told them, do it. You have to do the deeds because what? So Allah will make easy for you to do those deeds for the place that you're destined to be. And if you're going to be in paradise, Allah is going to make it easy for you to do the deeds of the people of paradise. And the opposite as well. And we'll come to that hadith at some point, inshallah. Soon, maybe. Tayyib, question number 8. So this question number 6 that we just mentioned, I'm sorry, it should be 7. Question number 6 we just mentioned is really, really important to understand. So please go back and look at that. If it's not crystal clear in your mind, you got to go back and look at that and see how the Shaykh explained it, because it's really, really an important matter, and it's a cause of confusion if we don't understand it. Tayyib. Question number 7. Mention the 23rd or 34th in Arabic of the commentary of Sheikh Salih Fawzan, statement of the author, Al-Imam al-Tahawi, concerning the taqdeer or decree of Allah. Yani, what was the 23rd statement of Imam al-Tahawi concerning the taqdeer or the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What did he say concerning this? Naam, fadl. Yes. Yes, yes. Fadl. Everything happens according to what Allah has decreed. Yani, Allah decreed it based on what? Based on His perfect knowledge. It's not going to happen any different way because Allah's knowledge is perfect. He's not guessing. I think it's going to happen like this. Like somebody said, what's your team name? Somebody said the other team was going to win. Whoever the other team was. And the other team got smashed. And the Imam today said, if you want to be happy about something, you should be happy about the fadl of Allah. And what Allah has given us. Not be happy about any some stuff that has no meaning and no benefit. No, I'm sorry. You want to say something? No. And we should be happy about the favor of Allah upon us, that He made us Muslims. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided us to Islam and gave us knowledge of the sunnah and the correct aqidah and the ability and the desire in our hearts to act upon it and to live by this deen. That's what we should rejoice over. As far as rejoicing in the streets over some team, wallahi, the Imam said, I don't want to rain on your parade. I want to rain on your parade. I do want to rain on your parade. And I'm not sure exactly what that means, but from the context I understood. From the context I understood what it meant. Now, wallahi, and he's right, the Imam is right. Now, mashallah, we should be merciful, because we want Allah to be merciful to us. But that parade needs to be rained on. And I don't mean the parade in the street, I mean your parade, if you're rejoicing with that. Because it ain't nothing for you to rejoice about. They don't have no meaning to us. It's not going to affect your relationship with Allah or your place in the next life, one way or another. You're not even going to physically, materially get richer from it. You ain't getting nothing out of it. You don't get no trophy, no ring, no money, nothing. And I remember about 30 years ago, some of the brothers in England, and I'm sidetracked now, and I shouldn't get sidetracked because the time is really, really upon us. But I remember they wrote, some of the brothers that I knew from England, they wrote about the shirk in this whole world of sports. How people are worshipping some of this stuff and worshipping some of these people. And it's not just in sports, entertainment, all the rest of that. As well, may Allah save us from that. Question number 8. Mention the 23rd again. We're saying 23rd because the Sheikh divided into two parts in his commentary. 23rd statement of the author, Imam al-Tahawi, concerning the Mashiach of Allah. What did he say concerning the Mashiach, the will of Allah? Al-Imam al-Tahawi. What did he say concerning the Mashiach of Allah? Zaki. What he wills? Uh-huh. A will for them. Willed for them. Now, that the Mashiach of Allah is going to be accomplished. It's going to be executed. It's going to happen. Whatever Allah willed is what is going to happen. And that the ibad, the human beings, don't have any will except what Allah willed for them. Meaning that their will, that they do have a will, but their will is subject to Allah's will. That means they can't go outside of that because they want to be independent of Allah. Nothing in the creation is independent of Allah. So whatever Allah wills for the created beings is what will be. And whatever He didn't will not be. And this also needs to be understood. And we talked about it a little bit last week, and we talked about it previously in Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah. And that is the importance of understanding that the human being does have a will, but it's not absolute free will. And it's subject to Allah's will. Because nothing can happen in this creation that Allah doesn't will. Meaning that He doesn't allow. Because He has power over everything. And nobody can do anything outside of what He wills. And then to understand that, we have to know that the will is divided into two parts. Al-Irada, Al-Qawniya, and Irada Al-Shara'iyya. What Allah decrees that must happen. And the other side of it is what Allah legislates. It may or may not happen. and we talked about that in detail previously. It is important to understand. We'll come back to it, inshallah. Taib, questions. Question number what? Question number 9. Mention the two deviant groups and summarize their deviation concerning the Mashiach of Allah. Naam. Shanawaz.
The person of the Qadariyah.
The Qadariyah.
And they say that people have independent free will separate from Allah.
They say that the human beings have independent, totally separate, complete free will, independent from Allah's will. And they negate that Allah's will overrides and supersedes the will of the human being. Naam.
Second, Jabriya.
Jabriya. Yani without two fatah. Not Jabba. Jabriya. Naam. Okay, so in summary, Jabriya, they say that the human being does not have any will. It's only Allah's will. Human being has no will. Whatever they do, they have no choice in the matter. They have no will in the matter. It's just what Allah, forced them to do. Like a machine that you turn on and it moves, it doesn't have any will in the matter. Okay, that's how they said is the human being. So both of these people are wrong. And the last question, number 10, is summarize the view of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah concerning the will of Allah and the will of the human beings. Summarize. Naam, Abdul Wali.
Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they're in the middle. They confirm the will of Allah and they confirm the will of the people. The future surah, ayahs 28 and 29, roughly translated, Allah says, whoever wills, let him be upright.
Type. So the summary of the position of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah is that they affirm the will of the human being and the will of Allah. But they tie the will of the human being subject to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He mentioned the ayat that mentions that affirms the will of the human beings. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا إِيَشَاءَ اللَّهِ. So it affirms the will of the human being, affirms the will of Allah, but it connects and subjects the will of the human being to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a very important topic. There's a lot of room for deviation if a person doesn't understand it. And it's not that complex, but it's that person does need to read what the scholars of Sunnah have said about it so that it will be clear. Wallahu musta'an. And I still have left from last week, and we said that we're going to try to read the commentaries of the two Imams, Sheikh Muhammad Nasiruddin Al-Albani and Imam Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, when they comment on any of these points. And the commentary is a little bit long, that's why I couldn't read it last week. And so I'm going to try to read some of it. At least the commentary of Al-Imam Muhammad Nasiruddin Al-Albani, rahimahullah, he says concerning the last point, that everything is subject to the taqdeer, the decree of Allah and His will. And His will is executed. And the ibad, the human beings, don't have any will except what Allah wills for them. So whatever He wills for them will be, and whatever He doesn't will for them will not be. He says, this means that the Mashiach and the Irada, the will of Allah, is Shamila. Yani it's complete and comprehensive, all inclusive. Nothing is outside of it. It's Shamila لِكُلِّ مَا يَقَى فِي هَذَا الْقَوْمِ. Yani there's nothing that happens in this universe except that it's subject to the will of Allah. Okay, that's the first part of his statement. He says whether it is good or evil, it's subject to the will of Allah. Nothing is outside of Allah's will. And of course here we mean al-Irada al-Qawniyah, the universal will, which includes that which Allah loves and is pleased with, and that which He doesn't love and is not pleased with. It must occur. And it's His decree. It must occur. Okay? As opposed to al-irada al-shara'iyya, which is what He commanded and prohibited, what He legislates. It only includes what Allah loves and is pleased with, and it may or may not occur. It may or may not occur. Shaykh is saying, Allah's irada qawniyya, His universal will, His decreed will, it includes everything that happens in the universe, whether it's good or evil, whether it's guidance or misguidance. And the ayats that point to this are many and well known. And he said you can go back to the original Shah to see some of those ayat. Al-Maqsood, what is intended? The point here of this statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi, he said, is Ar-Rad al-Mu'tazila al-Nafina li-Umum Mashiyatihi Ta'ala. And what is intended here is to refute the false belief of the Mu'tazila, who negated the generality of the will of Allah. That Allah's will everything is subject to it. They rejected that idea. Human being has his own will, independent of Allah. That's what they said. The Mu'tazila, here he means, yani, Qadariya. The Mu'tazila, yani, their belief in terms of this issue is the belief of the Qadariya. He said, this is what is intended, to reject the idea of the Mu'tazila, the Qadariya, that negated Allah's overriding will that covers everything. However, he said, it is incumbent here that it be known that this does not necessitate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves everything that occurs. Yani, everything being subject to His will is in accordance with His will, and His universal will, what He decreed, doesn't mean that He loves everything that occurs. Because this will includes what He loves, what He's pleased with, and that which He doesn't love and is not pleased with, includes both of them. Okay, so that's very important. That's the point that the Shaykh is really making here, that accepting this idea that Allah's will is yani, covering everything, all-inclusive, it doesn't mean that He loves everything that occurs. فَالْحُبْ غَيْرُ الْإِرَادَ. What Allah loves is different than all of the things that are inclusive under His irada kawniya, which includes that which He loves and that which He doesn't love. Otherwise, there will be no difference with Allah between the one who is obedient and the one who is sinful. And if Allah loves that everything that happens, then that means there's no difference between those who are obedient and those who are not obedient. And he said this is what has been stated clearly by some of the major scholars from the people who believe in the belief of Wahdatul Wujud. Wahdatul Wujud. That everything in existence is one. And that everything is Allah. And Allah is everything. He said they stated this clearly. That each of them, the one who is obedient to Allah and the one who is disobedient to Allah, both of them are in obedience to Allah and His irada. That's what they said. The one who is disobedient and the one who is obedient. And we know that this is not the case. As far as the madhab of the Salaf and the Fuqaha and the scholars of fiqh from amongst the people of Sunnah, and most of the people who affirm the Qadr from Ahl Sunnah and others besides them, they make a clear distinction. Yani their madhab is At-Tafriq Bain Al-Irada Wal-Muhabba. Yani they make a difference, a distinction between what Allah wills in His universal will and what Allah loves. They're not the same. Okay, and then the Shaykh refers here to some poetry. Okay, it's just one line we'll read. Muridu al-khayr wa shar al-qabih lakin laysa yarda bil-muhali. Yani that he wants the khayr and the shar that is ugly. Any meaning irada, irada qawniya. لكن ليس يرضى بالمحال. But he is not pleased with that evil. And Allah wills it in His universal will, but He's not pleased with it, and He doesn't love it. Then he mentions statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, which is like quite long. So we'll skip that. We'll just go with the statement of Imam al-Albani, rahimahullah. But he mentions Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah's statement, where he talks about the belief of the Qadariyah and another group, which is referring to the Jabriyah, and the mistake that they made in not being able to make this distinction between Allah's irada qawniya and His irada shara'iyya. Because they didn't make that distinction, they got confused, and some of them said, so Allah wills everything, and some of them said, some of the things that Allah wills, yani a human being could will something different, and some of them said Allah loves everything, yani from the good and the evil, and all of that is wrong. The Shaykh said all of that is wrong, and what is correct is that yani everything is subject to Allah's universal will, but it doesn't mean that Allah loves everything. Tonight, Allahu Musta'an. Tonight we're going to start with the 24th statement of Al-Imam At-Tahawi, and the 25th, and the 26th, and the 27th, and 28th. Yeah. 24th through 28th. In the Arabic text of the commentary of Sheikh Salih Fawzan, we mentioned this one time, and he starts with number 36 and he ends with 40. 36 to 40, and the English is one number less than that. Al-Imam At-Tahawi, rahimahullah, says in this point number 24, يَحْدِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَعْصِمُ وَيُعَافِي فَضْلًا وَيُدِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَخْذُلُ. And in some of the printings it says يَخْذِلُ. يَخْذُلُ وَيَبْتَلِي عَدَلًا. Okay, two statements here. The first statement, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ, He guides whomever He wills. And this is in contrast to the second part of the statement, where He says, يُدِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ, and He leads astray whomever He wills. Allah guides whoever He wills, and He leads astray whomever He wills. As far as those who He guides, He says, وَيَعَصِمُ وَيُعَافِي فَضْلًا, yani, يَعَصِمُ, He protects them, yani, from misguidance. وَيُعَافِي, and He keeps them safe from sin. And this interpretation is based on Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, Ibn Qayyim, I mean, in his book, yani, the things, the ways in which a person can be saved, or save themselves from sin, in which he mentions the mashhad of al-bala and al-afiyah. That al-bala is calamities, and al-afiyah is, yani, being protected from them. Yani, it is, al-bala is, the person who's afflicted by calamity is the person who's in disobedience to Allah. It's disobedience. That's the greatest calamity. And the person who has afiyah, well-being, is the person who's in obedience to Allah. That's the greatest. Even if a person is sick, even if they have cancer, but if they're in obedience to Allah, they have afiyah, well-being. So here, Ibn Qayyim mentions that the difference here, yani the bala, is that Allah has allowed a person to fall into sin and corruption and deviation. And the afiyah is that Allah has protected them. Yani He has allowed them to have success in obedience to Him. Obedience to Him, following right guidance. So that's what we're talking about here in these two statements. يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ, Allah guides whomever He wills. وَيَعَصِمُ, and He protects them from misguidance. وَيُعَافِي, and He keeps them safe from sin. And He allows them to be of the people of obedience. And this is His favor, His fadl. This is the favor of Allah. Yani Allah's bounty, His favor, His kindness, His generosity. That He guides people, and that He protects them, and He keeps them safe upon obedience to Him. وَيُدِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَخْذُلُ وَيَبْتَلِي عَدْلًا, and He misguides or misleads whoever He wills, yani based on any of their condition. And He abandons or withholds His guidance from some people, and He puts them to test. Yani He puts them to test, and the greatest of those tests is sin, disobedience to Him. Sheikh Salih Fawzan, in his explanation of this 24th point, he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيُضِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ, Allah guides whoever He wills, and He leads astray whoever He wills. وَهَذَا بِقَضَاءِ اللَّهِ وَقَدْرِهِ, this guiding whoever He wills and leading astray whoever He wills is based on the qadha of Allah and His qadr. And it's what Allah has decreed to be. Okay, He's guiding some people, that's what He decreed. Misguiding some people, that's what He decreed. But is this decree just haphazard? He just guided some and misguided others? The Shaykh explains it in a way that it doesn't leave any room for confusion. وَلَكِنَّهُ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ يَصْلُحْ لِلْهِدَايَةِ, but who does He guide and who does He decree to be guided? Those who He knows are fit for guidance. And who will accept it, who will appreciate it, who will act upon it. That's who He guides. وَيَهْدِي مَنْ يَحْرِسْ عَلَى طَلْبِ الْحِدَايَةِ, and He guides those who are diligent and eager and seeking guidance. Person is going after the guidance, trying to know what's right from wrong. So He guides them. He pre-decrees guidance for this person. وَيُقْبِلْ عَلَيْهَا, and the one who goes forward to the guidance. Yani doesn't run away from it and turn their back to it, but they go forward towards the guidance, accepting it. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُيَسِّرُ لَهُ لِلْيُسْرَ, so Allah makes easy for him, yani the khair, the good and the right guidance and obedience. He makes it easy for them. وَيُضِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ بِسَبَبِ إِعْرَادِهِ عَنْ طَلَبِ الْهِدَايَةِ وَالْخَيْرِ, and He leads astray whomever He wills, بِسَبَبِ, yani with the, for what? For a reason though. Why does He lead them astray? Because of their turning away and not seeking the guidance and that which is good. Because they turned away and they didn't seek guidance. They turned away from the guidance. And they turned away from that which is good. So therefore, as a result of that, a result of their actions, so Allah leads them astray. So He leads them astray as a punishment for them. Because of what? For their turning away. And because they didn't have the raghbah, the desire for khair. They had no desire to do good. And they turned away from the guidance. So Allah punished them by leading them astray. And this is made clear in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Layl, which is, what number, surah? 92nd surah, fifth ayat to the 10th ayat, okay? Two groups of people. Yani, people who are fit for guidance, who are seeking guidance, and who are, yani, turning to the guidance and that which is good. So Allah makes it easy for them. And another group of people who are turning away from the guidance, who have no desire for that which is good. So Allah, yani, leads them to that which they turn themselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran in the surah, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. The first group of people, Allah says, as for those who أَعْطَى, yani the scholars of tafsir say, meaning they complied with what they were commanded with. Shaykh Abdurrahman al-Sa'di, he says, it means that the charity that Allah commanded them with, voluntary charity, obligatory charity, spending the way of Allah, whatever, not only that, giving, not just charity, but even doing whatever Allah has commanded. Prayers, charity, fasting, hajj, whatever. All of that. The people who a'ta are those who comply with what Allah commanded them with. Wattaqa, and they observe taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obeying His commands and avoiding His prohibitions. Wasaddaqa bilhusna, and they testify to the truthfulness of al-husna. Scholars, Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir, he mentions, rahimahullah, different explanations of the Salaf concerning this. All of them are in agreement though. Yani al-husna, it means la ilaha illallah. Or it means whatever, yani, is derived, whatever else is required based on la ilaha illallah. Or the reward for a person confirming and acting with upon la ilaha illallah. Or specifically the Jannah. Yani they testify to the truthfulness of la ilaha illallah and the reward for doing so. So Allah makes it easy for them, He makes it easy for them to do good, to be obedient to Him, and to do the deeds that will lead them to paradise. The Shaykh says, فَصَارَ السَّبَبْ مِنَ الْعَبْدِ وَالْقَدْرِ مِنْ جِهَةِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. So here we see from these ayat that the sabab of them, of Allah making it easy for them to be obedient to Him and to seek that which is good, and to travel the path that leads to paradise. The reason why Allah made it easy for them, the reason why He guided them, was because of them. Because of them what? Because of them obeying Allah's commands. Yani, because of their observing taqwa of Allah. Because of their, yani, seeking that which is right and testifying to the truth. So as a result of that, the cause of Allah guiding them and making it easy for them was their own actions. Even though the pre-decree, the qadr, is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other group is the opposite. As for those who are bakhila, wastaghna, yani those who withheld, hold back from giving that which Allah commanded and doing that which Allah commanded, and they felt that they are yastaghni, they have no need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are not in need of Allah. And they felt like, we don't have a need for this. They don't have to be obedient to Allah. They don't have to observe taqwa. And they denied the husna, so Allah made it easy for them to what? Al-yusra, difficulty, hardship, misguidance, evil and disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah made that easy for them. They turned to that, so Allah made it easy for them to do that which they turned themselves to. The Shaykh says, so again, the sabab of their being misguided, yani, is their own actions. It's from the abd himself. And the qadr is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah pre-decreed it. But He pre-decreed it, yani His knowledge of it is based on what He knew that what these people would do. So based on their action, that's why they are misguided. Based upon these people's action, that's why Allah guides them. And all of this, as Imam Tahawi said, is the fadl of Allah and the adl of Allah. And Allah is guiding people, it's His fadl, His favor upon them. Since they made an effort to do right, so out of His favor and His generosity and His kindness, He guided them right, made it easy for them. And the other people, because of their, yani, not having a desire for good and turning away from the truth and rejecting the truth when it came to them and not being obedient to Allah. So that was Allah's adl, His justice. Yani, that's what they were due justly. And the Shaykh goes into a lengthy explanation, Allahu musta'an, but it is important. So we're going to try to cover as much of it as we can. Shaykh says here, so again, the sabab, the cause of a person's guidance or misguidance, is their own self, their actions. Even though the qadr is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah decreed for some people yani misguidance as a punishment for them because of the turning away from the truth. And Allah decreed guidance out of His fadl, yani His favor, His bounty, His generosity, His kindness. Yani He decreed for some people guidance, and He honored some of the people. Why? الَّذِي يُرِيدُ الْخَيْرِ وَيُرِيدُ الْهِدَايَةِ Because they wanted good. They wanted goodness. And they wanted right guidance. So out of Allah's favor, He guided them, and He made it easy for them for the khayr, and to do the actions of khayr. And this is in their interests. And Allah doesn't benefit from this at all. And He does this as a favor for the created beings. As far as Him misleading and misguiding the people of misguidance, فَعَدْلٌ مِّنْهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَجَزَاءً لَهُمْ عَلَى إِرَادِهِمْ وَعَدَمْ إِقْبَالِهِمْ عَلَى الْخَيْرِ وَعَلَى طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ As far as Allah misguiding some people, so this is His adl. This is justice. This is justice. This is what they deserve. This is their compensation for their turning away and for not having any desire for the good and for the obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because they didn't have any desire for the guidance or desire for good. Then the Shaykh says, وَلَمْ يَظْلِمْهُمْ لَمْ يَظْلِمْهُمْ شَيْئًا Allah didn't do any injustice to them at all. The people that Allah misguided, it's not due to any injustice to them. And this is why we find in many ayats in the Quran, the Shaykh gives a sample of how Allah makes clear why some people are not guided. And he says in Surah Al-Baqarah, second Surah, 258th ayah, وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ Allah doesn't guide the people of dhulm, of wrongdoing. He doesn't guide them. Why? Because of their dhulm. That's why. It's not injustice. He says, وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْكَافِرِينَ Allah doesn't guide the people of disbelief. Why? Because they disbelieved. Yani their action results in this yani misguidance. وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ Yani that's the second ayah is in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 264, and the third ayah is in Surah Al-Ma'idah, ayah 108. Allah does not guide the people of fisq, people of disobedience, people of sin and corruption. The Shaykh says, so Allah has made the dhulm, their wrongdoing, and the kufr, their disbelief, and the fisq, their disobedience and corruption, He made these the asbab li'adam al-hidayah. These are the causes and the reasons why they were not guided. Because of their own actions. وَهَذِهِ مِنْ أَفْعَالِ الْإِبَادِ جَازَاهُمْ عَلَيْهِ So these are the actions of the people themselves, and they are rewarded, yani compensated for their actions. عَدْلًا مِنْهُ And this is justice from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not dhulm. In fact, Allah says in Surah An-Nahl, 16th Surah, 33rd ayat, وَمَا ظَلَمَهُمُ اللَّهُ وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ And Allah did not do any injustice to them. Rather, they have been unjust, they are wrongdoers against their own selves. Then the Shaykh says, after this clarity, so it is not befitting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا يَلِيكُ بِي It's not befitting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To honor those who are described like this, with kufr, and wrongdoing and disbelief. It's not befitting of Allah to honor these people. And also it's not befitting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to waste the good deeds of the people who did good. Then he mentioned several ayats, and any one of these ayats would be sufficient. We're going to mention each one of them. The Shaykh, he says, yani, and from Surah Al-Jathiyah, 45th Surah, 21st ayat, أَمْ حَسِبَ الَّذِينَ اجترحوا السيئات أن نجعلهم كالذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات سواء محياهم ومماتهم ساء ما يحكمون Do you imagine, do you think that the ones who commit outrageous sins that we will make them, yani that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them to be equal, to be like the people who believe and do good deeds, that they will be equal in this life or after death, yani in the time of accounting. Will Allah make them equal? سَعَ مَا يَحْكُمُونَ Any evil is that which you judge, if you imagine that. And then he went on to say, in the same surah, 22nd ayah, وَخَلَقَ اللَّهُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بِالْحَقِّ لِتُجَزَى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ And Allah created the heavens and the earth with truth, so that every person will be rewarded or compensated based on what they have earned, what they have done themselves, and they will not be wronged in any way whatsoever. Then he mentions from Surah Al-Qalam, 68th Surah, 35th and 36th Ayat. أَفَنَجَعَلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ كَالْمُجْرِمِينَ مَا لَكُمْ كَيْفَ تَحْكُمُونَ. Yani, shall we make the Muslims, the people who surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like the mujrimeen, the criminals? What's with you? What kind of judgment are you having? The Shaykh says, this would be dhulm if Allah makes them equal, the Muslims and the mujrim, yani the kafir and the mu'min, the people who do evil deeds and the people who do righteous deeds. He said, this would be injustice. And we declare Allah to be free from injustice. And then he says, Allah says in Surah As-Sa'd, 38th Surah, 28th Ayat, أَمْ نَجْعَلُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ كَالْمُفْسِدِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَمْ نَجْعَلُ الْمُتَّقِينَ كَالْفُجَّارِ. Yani, shall we make those who believe and do good deeds like the mufsideen, the corrupt people? Shall they be equal, the people who make corruption in the earth? Or shall we make the muttaqeen, the people of taqwa, like the fujjar, the people of filth and corruption and immorality? Shall we make them equal? The Shaykh says, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will not waste the reward of the people who do righteous deeds. And He will not compensate anyone with other than what they have done themselves, with their own actions and what they have earned. Any people will be rewarded or punished according to their actions. And then he mentions from Surah As-Saffat, and I can't remember what surah it is, 37 maybe or something like that, 37, 39th ayat, وَمَا تُجْزَوْنَ إِلَّا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Yani, that you will not be rewarded, you will not be given compensation, except based upon what you yourself has done. So the action, yani, that the reward or punishment is based upon, the action, all of it, is the action of the human being, whether it's good or evil. And the reward or compensation is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fadlan wa adlan. Yani, that Allah, if a person does good, Allah out of His generosity and kindness rewards it with a greater good. And if a person does evil, then Allah punishes them justly. So this is also a very important topic that yani, needs some review. And we're kind of like going a little bit quickly. I yani, ask you a pardon for that. But the remaining points are relatively brief. The Shaykh says, this is statement number 25, or 36 in Shaykh Salih Fawzan, or 37 I mean, in Arabic. He says, وَكُلُّهُمْ يَتَقَلَّبُونَ فِي مَشِيَتِهِ بَيْنَ فَضْلِهِ وَعَدْلِهِ. And this is a continuation of what we just talked about. He said, all of the created beings are subject to His Mashiyah. And whatever happens is due to either Allah's fadl, His favor and kindness, or His adl, His justice. All of the created beings are subject to the Mashiyah of Allah. يَتَقَلَّبُونَ فِي مَشِيَتِهِ. Going back and forth between His fadl, yani His favor if they do good, or His adl, yani His justice if they do otherwise. The Shaykh says, so every created being, none of them are outside of the Mashiyah of Allah. Either, yani going between His fadl for the people of obedience and who do good, and His adl, His justice, for the people of disbelief and shirk. Everybody is between His fadl or His adl. And it's either Allah's favor, if He rewards you, that's His favor. And if He punishes you, then that's what you do. Yani, فَلَا تَلُومَنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسَكَ. Don't blame anyone but yourself. The Shaykh says, so this is what is la'iq bi hikmatihi wa 'azamatihi subhanahu. And this is what is befitting, what is suitable of His wisdom and His greatness and His glory subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that Allah favor the people of obedience and good, and that He give justice to the people of disbelief and shirk. So Allah will not combine between people who are opposites, and the people of iman and the people of kufr. He's not going to treat them both the same way. And the people of obedience and the people of disobedience. Rather, Allah will put everything in its place where it belongs. And for this reason, from the names of Allah is Al-Hakim. And from the sifat of Allah is Al-Hikmah. And Allah is Al-Hakim. Al-Hakim is the one who yada al-ashya fi mawadi'iha, that puts everything in its proper place. فَيَضَى الْفَضْلُ فِي أَهْلِ الطَّاعَةِ وَيَضَى الْعَذَابُ فِي أَهْلِ الْكُفْرِ وَالْمَعَاصِي وَهَذَا فَضْلِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَعَدْلُهُ فَضْلُهُ وَعَدْلُهُ. So he puts his favor, he gives his favor, his bounty, his kindness to the people of obedience and the punishment to the people of disbelief and sin. So this is the fadl of Allah and the adl of Allah, his favor and his justice. That's how Allah does it. And so everything being subject to the will of Allah, Allah guides whoever He wills, He protects whoever He wills, and He grants them well-being, and He based on their actions, based on their actions. And He misguides, and He based on their actions. The Shaykh says, and this is point statement number 26 from Al-Imam al-Tahawi, وَهُوَ, يعني Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, هُوَ مُتَعَالٍ عَنِ الْأَضَدَادِ وَالْأَنْدَادِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Muta'al. And this is one of the names of Allah, Al-Muta'al. He is Muta'al, highly exalted, free from having any opponents or any equals. Al-Dad, yani opponents, and Andad, equals, or those who are similar to him, yani who can yani equally share with him. He is Muta'alin, he's very highly exalted, far removed from having anything in the creation that can oppose him, or anything that is equal to him. The Shaykh says, Muta'al ay martafi'un bi dhatihi wa qadrihi wa kahrihi an al-addad wal-andad, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is raised up high. His that, His divine being, Allah Himself, is high. And He rose above the throne. He is above the heavens. Wa qadrihi, in the book, has been translated as omnipotence. And that's not really the meaning of it, far from it. The meaning of qadrihi, and I don't have time maybe now to explain it in detail, but if we go back to the great book of Sheikh Abdul Razak, son of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad al-Badr, his book on the Asma al-Husna, explanation of those names, he mentions in chapter 36, Al-Ali al-Ala al-Muta'al. And he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that these names all indicate ulu, yani ala uluwihi al-mutlaq, bi jami' al-wujuh wal-i'tibarat. And I'm going to just summarize it quickly, that these names, Al-Ali, Al-A'la, and Al-Muta'al, these are names that indicate Allah's absolute highness from every angle that you can look at it, or every consideration. And he mentions from three considerations that the Shaykh mentions here. Huwa Ali, alu al-dhat, and his divine being is high. وَهُوَ عَلِي أُلُوَ الْقَدْرِ, and his يعني قدر is high. وَهُوَ عَلِي أُلُوَ الْقَهْرِ, and his قهر is high. And I want to go back to the second one after I mentioned the third one. أُلُوَ الْقَهْرِ, it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a power and the ability to subdue everything. He has the ability to conquer, to vanquish, to overcome everything in the creation. That's his قهر. As far as his قدر, and that in the book it has been translated omnipotence, this is how the Shaykh explained it. And that's what I really wanted to mention here. He says, وَهُوَ الْعَلِي أُلُوَ الْقَدْرِ. What is الْقَدْرِ? هُوَ أُلُوَ صِفَاتِهِ. صِفَاتِهِ. Not his omnipotence. His صِفَات are high, exalted. صِفَاتِهِ وَعَظَمَتِهَا. And their magnificence. The magnificence of his صِفَات. فَإِنَّ صِفَاتِهِ عَظِيمًا. Indeed, Allah's صِفَات are magnificent, and there's nothing like them or near to them, and so on. The point here is what that I wanted to mention here is just that, yani the Shaykh is saying that the meaning of Allah's name Al-Muta'al, it is that He is raised up, bidhati, His divine being is high, and His qadr, His sifat, His divine qualities and characteristics are high, and His qahr, yani His being the one who can conquer and vanquish and overcome and subdue everything in the creation. He's too high from these three angles, from having any al-dad, any opponent, or andad, anyone that is equal. He mentions first al-andad, it means al-amthal, or shubaha, and nudhara, yani shubaha and nudhara. He said that these are some of the meanings of al-andad, yani those which are like him, or similar to him, or equal to him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have anyone that is like him, or anyone that is similar to him, or anyone that is equal to him. For there is no one that shares with Allah, or resembles Allah, or is equal to Allah. And this, Yani this is related to Allah's ulu, ulu al-qadr and ulu al-qahr. Yani that his sifat are very high and lofty, and his power to vanquish and to conquer and to overcome everything is very high. وَهُوَ عَلِي بِذَاتِهِ And his divine being is high above everything in the creation. Yani he doesn't have anyone equal to him because he's high above them. Al-Abdad, yani opponents, he said, they are the mu'aridun, yani those who oppose. Yani those who oppose someone. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have anyone that can oppose him. No one, yani that can contest him. No one in the creation can contest him. فَإِنَّهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ أَمْرًا For if he wants any affair, yani it's not possible for anyone in the creation to object or anyone to prevent the affair that Allah intends. If Allah wants to give someone, nobody can hold it back. If Allah wants to hold back anything from anyone, nobody can give it. And then he mentioned the statement of the Prophet ﷺ in the hadith, لَا مَانِيَ لِمَا عَطَيْتَ وَلَا مُعَطِيَ لِمَا مَنَعَتَ There is no one who can give, no one who can hold back that which you, Allah, gives. And there is no one who can hold back that which, no one who can give that which you hold back. And this hadith is a very important hadith, and it's good that we recite it, yani, daily to remind ourselves that whatever it is of khair in this world, nobody can stop it from coming to us if Allah intends it for us. And nobody can give us, not the president, the governor, the mayor, the king, the whoever, nobody can give what Allah withholds. If you want anything in this world and you don't get it, it's because Allah withheld it. Forget about the people, they don't control nothing. Allah is the one who controls everything. If Allah intends it for you, they can't stop it. And if Allah has not decreed it for you, they can't give it to you. Next, this is the last main point, and I'm looking at the time right now. We have 3 minutes maybe. Allah musta'an. The point number 27, or statement number 27, the Shaykh says, it's divided into three parts. لَا رَادَ لِقَضَائِهِ وَلَا مُعَقِّبَ لِحُكْمِهِ وَلَا غَالِبَ لِأَمْرِهِ And there's no one who can repel his qadha, his decree. Nor anyone who can undo or reverse, yani mu'aqib, no one who can undo or reverse his hukm, his ruling or judgment. Nor can anyone overpower, وَلَا غَالِبَ لِأَمْرِهِ No one can overpower his commands. And here the commands, as the Shaykh mentions, I think he mentions in the commentary, it means, yani what he commands in his universal commands, yani qawniyah. Because his commands in the Qur'an, he ordered people to pray or not. Yani people may pray or they may not pray. But he's talking about, yani, in terms of what Allah decrees. And his irada, qawniyah. So, okay, I'm sorry. This point, number 27, I did skip part of the explanation of the Shaykh, and I'm just going to summarize what he says here. He mentions the ayah from Surah Al-Fatir, 35th surah, second ayah. That's from the previous point, that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives of his rahmah, nobody can hold it back, and whatever he holds back, nobody can release it after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has held it back. And he is Al-Aziz Al-Hakim. And then he says, so there's no equal for Allah. There's no one who can, yani dhidh, who can oppose Allah and what he has commanded and what he has prohibited. As opposed to the created beings, so there are those who can contest and oppose and stand in opposition to what? Yani stand in opposition from the execution of what of their commands. The created beings, all of them, have those who musharik, yani who share with them, who are equal with them. The creation, yani has those who are similar to them in knowledge and in name and in everything. Yani every created being has something or someone that's equal to it or similar to it. In its physical being, in its qualities and characteristics, sharing in its actions and in its possessions, yani having actions like them and equal to them and possessions like them and equal to them, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's nothing, no one that is similar to him and no one that shares with him. The statement 27 that I jumped to ahead of time, yani that there's yani no one who can repel Allah's decree and no one who can undo his ruling and no one who can overpower his amr and who can stop what he commands. He says, he mentions first the ayah from Surah to Maryam, 19th surah, I think, Maryam 19th surah, 19? Somebody, yes, I don't know, 19th surah, huh? Yeah, ayah 35. He says, he mentions here the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right on point on what he's mentioning here, what Imam Tahawi mentioned. He said, لَا مُعَقِّبَ لِحُكْمِهِ وَهُوَ السَّرِيُّ الْحِسَابِ And there is no one that yani can undo or reverse or stop or delay the ruling or the judgment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is quick in calling to account. From Surah Ra'd, Ra'd I think is 13th surah, 41st ayat. فَاللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ إِذَا قَضَى عَمْرًا فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُ أَحَدًا أَنْ يَنْقُضُهُ أَوْ يَرُدُّهُ بِكِلَافِ الْمَخْلُوقِ فَقَدْ يُعَتِّلُ تَنْفِيذُ حُكْمِهِ وَقَدْ يُنْقَضُ. Yani, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he decrees any matter, then there's no one that has the ability to undo it or to reject it or to repel it or to oppose it. As opposed to the created beings, so someone may stop the execution of what they have ruled or judged, or someone may, yani, nullify it completely. And the last point that the Shaykh closes with, or that's not the end of what he said, he says the end of the third part of this statement, لا غالب لأمره, there is no one that can, yani, overpower his command. That if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands with something, there is no one that can overpower his command, yani can stop it. And that, he said, this means his awamir al-qawniyah, yani the things that he decreed in his universal decree. As far as awamiruhu al-shari'iyah, the things that he commanded in the sharia, that he legislated in the sharia, so it's possible that someone can suspend or violate or oppose, yani, what he has ordered, as the disbelievers and the people of sin and corruption do every day. He said, these, the legislated commands, yani what Allah has legislated in the sharia, هذه للابتلاء والامتهان ليترتب على ذلك الثواب والإقاب. Yani these commands that Allah has legislated are as trials and tests, يا رحمك الله, that will result in a person being rewarded or punished. Yani Allah has allowed the human being in what he has legislated to obey it or to disobey it. And it will be the basis of their reward or their punishment. And finally, the last statement, and just one line concerning this, Al-Imam At-Tahawi says, آمَنَّا بِذَلِكَ كُلِّهِ وَأَيْقَنَّا أَنَّ كُلًّا مِنْ عِنْدِهِ. Yani we believe, we have iman in what has been mentioned above, all of it. وَأَيْقَنَّا, and we are certain that all of it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, min indihi, from Allah himself. Yani we believe in all of this that has been mentioned, and we know with certainty that everything, yani, which happens, everything, yani, that occurs is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani, in his divine decree. The Shaykh says, all of what has been mentioned from the beginning of this aqidah to the end of it is that which we worship Allah with. And this is not simply speech on our tongues. Rather, it is from our heart. It is from our hearts. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I ask Allah for myself and for each of you that He grant us success in doing whatever we do, and that He recognize, record and reward our good deeds, and that He pardon, forgive, and overlook our mistakes and errors, and that He grant us athabat. Yani that today we are in the masjid, and we are praying in jama'ah, and we are learning our deen, and we don't know tomorrow. We ask Allah to grant us thabat, that we be firm and that we be steadfast upon a sirat al-mustaqim until we leave this world and return to Him in a condition in which we are pleasing to Him and pleased with Him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant speedy recovery to those amongst us who are sick, and to shower His rahmah upon those who have passed away, and to fill their graves with light, and to make them spacious, and to admit them into His paradise, and to save them from the punishment of the hellfire and the punishment of the grave. And we ask Allah to grant relief to the Muslims, men, women, and children who are being persecuted, who are being murdered and slaughtered, whether in Palestine or anywhere else in the earth. We ask Allah to grant them relief from Himself, to grant them protection from Himself, from before them and behind them, from their right and from their left, from above them and from below them. And we know that yani Allah alone is the one from whom help is sought. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. If there's a correction that somebody needs to make before we disperse, because some people may be leaving immediately, if there's something in my hastiness or in my blindness, I can't see the paper even sometimes what I'm reading. Please don't hesitate. In fact, In the future, somebody remind me that if there's any mistake, where's the imam? Because the imam, he will make corrections, mashallah. But some of you are shy. And it is important that, yani, if something is said that you think is a mistake or you know is a mistake, that we correct it on the spot, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum wa jazakum Allahu khaira.